So does anyone remember what the message was last week? Everybody's gone blank now. Oh, well done. Who said that? Who said what? And well done. Working for God. Right. So we're going to continue a little bit from that passage, right? And we're going to just make it a bit more fuller this morning. So the title of the sermon today is All Things Work Together for Good. Right? All things work together for good. So I'm going to do a short recap, and then I'm going to go into the message for today. So the Lord can take a terrible situation and use it for His good. Amen. So last week, we went with the Apostle Paul on a voyage that ended in disaster, a smashed vessel, a shipwreck, and he was put on an island. But God got Paul exactly where He wanted him. Right? So that was from Acts 27:24. So Paul the Apostle was taken as a prisoner on a voyage to Rome. Despite his warning, the ship sailed into a violent storm and was driven off course for many days. Eventually, the ship was wrecked on an island, breaking apart in the surf. Yet just as God had promised, all 276 people on board survived, some swimming and others clinging to pieces of the ship. God preserved every life and safely brought Paul to the shore, continuing his plan. So I'm going to read the next section. Is Acts 28:1. So it's going to be a small paragraph. I'm just going to continue from last week. It's about two paragraphs. I'm going to read that, and then we're going to just explain that a bit. So Acts 28:1. It's important we continue from last week. So Paul's on his way, the ship gets battered, and God has put him where he wants him. And so it says, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. So they ended up on this island after the shipwreck, and the natives showed us unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome. Because of the rain that was falling, and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt, this man is a murderer, who, though he had escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But he, Paul, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time, and so no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And verse 7, in that region there was an estate of the leading citizens of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously, for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Okay, so I'm going to stop there with that verse. The title, All Things Work Together for Good, right? The Lord uses this situation to locate Paul onto the island of Malta so that the residents could hear the good news of the gospel. The local population followed pagan beliefs, okay, worshipping various gods. We can understand that from the passage. When Paul was bitten by a snake, they thought it was divine judgment. You know, he must have done something wicked. When he didn't die, they then thought he was a god. The reaction shows they were not grounded in the gospel. So God used the storm to get people, to get Paul from one location to another for this island. So we are getting to see how God is starting to work in disasters. Okay, it doesn't look good at the time. You're on the ship, right? But there's disaster brewing. But God is thinking, you know, two or three steps ahead of us. And he's already got a plan. So in those days, dysentery and fever would have ended in death. You know, it's quite a serious thing that people in that island would have died. But the mercy of God used the storm and brought the message of salvation to those people that they may be saved. You know, God is using all of us in different ways, right, to help and save, to be a light to other people. The gospel is not only in word alone, but in power. I want to say that, right? They didn't go to this island in Malta and read the Bible to them. Right? They didn't go and read the Bible. They went and they demonstrated, okay, the heart and the love of God. So the gospel we have is not a powerless gospel. Okay? We don't possess a weak gospel. We possess a gospel that has power. The Lord wants active participants of power to spread the same message that Paul was preaching with the same fruits. So it's for us today. God is saying, look at what Paul did. Look at the disaster. But look how God turned it. Turned that bad situation. All things work and are working together for good. When Paul, the apostle, arrived after the shipwreck, he stayed on an island for, think about 3 months. He was on an island demonstrating the gospel, teaching, demonstrating the gospel, right? Again, with the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't take a class of people and a chalkboard. He demonstrated what God taught him and he was passing on. So all those people in the island would have heard the gospel. They would have access to the teachings or Paul had written, and they would have come into, you know, they would have come into a touch with God himself. So working for God. So the last week's message was entitled Working for God. And we've just got a glimpse of what this looks like. Okay? So we need to be thinking, when you say you're working for God, what does it mean? What is God wanting us to do? How does that look like, right? And we've had a description of what it means. What does it look like to work for God? A life of saving and helping other people. Not in our own strength, but by the power of the gospel. If you're working for God, right, you're going to have God's power in your life, working through your life. Working for God includes supernatural, okay? For you today, the supernatural manifestations, maybe it's visions, maybe it's seeing the unseen, maybe it's being led by the Holy Spirit. The healing miracles are a part of that sign for us today. It's the same. It's the same. God is working the same way. We can see the format that Jesus Christ demonstrated so that we too can enter into the miracles of God. Are we awake, church? Are we drifting off asleep? Are we sure?
Yeah.
Would I just say anyone? Their mind's gone blank now. Hallelujah. So I'm getting on to Christ has given us a format, right? What's the format? Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and prayed. He went to him and prayed and he laid hands and healed him. Is that for us today, church? What do you reckon? Yeah. Is that a stretch? Is that a big stretch for Pete? Is that, I don't know, Pastor. That's, you know, that was 2,000 years ago. Is it still working? I'm not sure. Luke 4:40. This is Jesus. When the sun was setting, all those who had any sickness and various diseases were brought to him. And he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. So we're getting now into, okay, Paul's in a shipwreck. He's on this island. He's given the gospel. Now he's demonstrating it. Right? So we're seeing a format for people involved in the life and in the life of working for God. Okay, Mark 16:17 says this, and these signs will follow those who believe. Now we're believers, aren't we? And these signs will follow those who believe. And in my name, they will cast out demons. Right, that's still a thing today? Or is that still relevant today? Or is it just finished? What do you reckon, church? Are you not sure? Okay. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Is tongues for today, maybe? Maybe not, right? Right. Tongues is for today. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it would by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we've got a format if we want to follow the Lord. So for us today to enter into the works of God, when we work for God, listen, when you're working for God, nothing much has changed. But nothing's changed. There'll be times when you should be able to pray and lay your hands on the sick and see them recover. Everyone here, in your journey of the Lord, right? You should be able to pray and put your hands on somebody and see them get better. People are looking at me with faces like, okay. There's a noise. Is that a noise to the speaker? Can we cut that off? Or one of the speakers, maybe one of them are on. There will be times when you should be able to pray and lay your hands on the sick and see them recover. Right? I prayed multiple times for my wife. Multiple times God has healed her over the last 10 years. She's that really bad pain in her stomach. We used to pray for her. Right, and God used to heal her. Back problems, knee problems. Right, is this on or is it not on? Can you hear me? Yes. I want to put it in you so you may reach for it. Church, are you here with me? Mm-hmm. I want to put it before you so you can reach for it. Right? If you've got children, you've got family, husband, wives, right? Pray. People around, pray and let God do his work. Don't worry about it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want this person to be well. And then pray, Lord, put your hands on them. Ask them, are you feeling better? If you're brave enough, ask them, are you feeling better? They may say, oh, no, yes, it is. No, it's not. Can I pray one more time? And just leave it. Let God work. I've been doing this for 12 years, right? Seen many people healed today. Same thing. Same God. Same ministry. Part of the works of the Holy Spirit. But people don't grasp it. They don't want to enter into it because they don't think, oh, maybe it's not going to work. I'm going to look stupid. I don't want to do it. Right? But you're robbing someone of healing in their body. You're robbing someone because you think, well, do I believe God? Or do I really? Is this text? Is the Bible still relevant? So you've got all these things going on in your head, right? But you're never going to know. And I guarantee you, right, if there is a room of 50 people there, and as a church, just go and pray for some people, I guarantee you, right, probably 50% of the people, they're going to have a change in their bodies. I promise you. You may not believe it, but you're going to go and say, if we had church, okay, I'm going to preach the gospel, we're going to go to that room, there's 50 people there, and you're going to go and lay hands on them. I guarantee you, right, some of those people will get healed like this. Some slower, some there's a block. Our job is not to second guess. Our job is to go. Like Paul on the beach. See someone healed. See someone delivered. See someone set free. And you're in that work. And that was never taken away from you. You understand Christianity now? When that history with the Lord is working through your life, right, you're going to see different things. And then your faith is not grounded just on the scripture. It is grounded on the Spirit and is grounded on that person. Thank you. What happened? I just prayed and God heals. So there's a work of God that we all as a church, or everyone here today, have the courage. Can I pray for you? Right? And just pray for them and just put their hands on the Father. I just don't want this man to be sick. I don't want him to be in pain. And let the Lord work. And if you start to do this in this season, right? And I know some of you do this anyway. But for those of you that don't, right, you're going to see something incredible. You're going to see something that you can, that will never be taken from you. No one can take it from you. If you come to Christianity and it's all religion and works, right, someone can convince you. But when you have the power of God and you see the scriptures and you think, well, Paul went to an island and, you know, he went and he prayed for people and God was healing them and that glory goes to God, there's something in there for you to do. So God is inviting us to look at the scriptures, to understand it, and then to apply it. Okay? The teaching and equipping. Okay? We're going to the men's prisons, I prayed for men. Men were getting healed in the prison. Man was having a deliverance in the prison. You know, I want you to enter into this, because some of you are maybe thinking, can I reach for that? Absolutely. Wouldn't you regret, right, when you get to heaven and God says, there's 50 people in your life that if you put your hand on, I want to heal them. Would you regret it? You're not doing nothing. You're just saying, Lord, you work in the name of Jesus, be healed. And you're putting your hand there and you take your hand away. And I promise you, right, there's people in your life, maybe you haven't yet met, maybe you're going to meet, maybe around you, that if you can put your hand on them, and they feel God's presence coming, it would change everything. And then the gospel now is changing. You don't have to convince people. It's power. And you can't explain it. But you know why? You want that person to be well. Because your heart is changed, right? It's love. You see, it changes. The dynamic change from the church, from just reading the scriptures, to now demonstrating. Wherever you are, someone's sick, pray for them. Put your hands on them. You're going to see God working. And then you're going to get confident. And then you're going to build on that, and then you're going to see a lot of changes. As I said, I prayed for my wife many things God has healed her for. Some of you can pray for your husbands, pray for your wife, pray for your children, pray for your grandchildren. The first thing you should do is pray. Second thing, call the doctor, right? No problem. I ain't got a problem with doctors, nurses, beautiful, okay? But they can't give you everlasting life, right? The best doctors in the world, God bless them. And the nurses. I spent a lot of time, you know, when I was young, in hospitals. Sick a lot. Yeah, beautiful people. But they can't give you everlasting life. They can't resurrect you from the dead. They can't give you afterlife. They can give you this life, heal the flesh, right? But they can't heal. And some of the things people are suffering from, they are spiritual. Yeah. Right? A lot of things are spiritual. But because you have the Spirit of God in you, the eternal Spirit, right? Yeah. That Spirit starts to go. So you have to move from the mind into the supernatural, right? And that's the essence of what I'm talking about. I want you to know the Word of God is supernatural, it's spiritual, okay? It will change you, it will transform you, and you can change and you can transform other people's lives. However, you will only see these things if you practice believing in your heart that God is working through you. Right. Blocks to people trying. I've got a sentence here. Blocks to people trying. It's not about you. That's your block. Right? It's not about you. It's about him. That's your block. It's not about you. Does it work? Is it going to work? I'm going to look silly. It's not about you. It's about him. People think it's because they are not healed or something themselves, right? If you got things in your body and you're not healed, right? You think, well, what? I'm going to pray for someone. I'm not healed. Right, it's not about that. I guarantee you. I've got things in my body I haven't been healed from, right? I still pray for people as though they're going to get healed. Because it's not about you. It's not to do with you. It's nothing to do with you. It's to do with him. So if you're blocked for healing, it's stopping you because you've got something in your body and you're praying for God to heal you and he hasn't, it does not mean he's not going to heal the next person. And when you get to heaven, you can ask him yourself why. Okay, so don't ask me, you ask him. But I guarantee you, right, if you're in your sick bed and a nurse comes, can I pray? Bang, God will probably heal her. What? You're still sitting there. Who knows? God is mysterious. I've got an answer for you. All I know, on your worst day, you can put your hand on somebody. Father, in the name of Jesus, right? Oh God, please, Lord, heal them. That's it, church. How hard is it to do that? How hard is he? Headache go, inflammation go, or sickness go? Look, dysentery went, right? So I want you to really, in this season, right? You know, how we started this church was the healing, right? We used to have the free healing night, right? And we used to have people coming with different different things, from demonic stuff to marriage issues to curses and all this, these different things, and God will still heal them all. He still works for them. And you know, so God is wanting to work for us. And you remember the story I told you last week when I was on the on my holiday, me and my wife? Do you remember?
Yes.
Does anyone remember the details of that?
Yes.
Well, give me detail.
You
so,
yeah,
okay. I didn't tell you. When we got onto the plane, right, I had to, God made me wear this for the whole flight. My wife remembers. I got a picture of it. So in the flight, I was wearing this on the flight. I thought, Lord, why do I have to wear this for? On the flight. And so I think I prayed for a few people. I prayed on the flight and I took it off. Can you see, church? And the air hose, why have we got the free healing? What's that about? So I told her and I prayed for her. Another man, what have you, you know, in the airplane, there's lots of noise. You can't really hear. And then, what are you wearing this for in the airplane? What's wrong with you? You know, and so I said, I told her my testimony. And, you know, I get to pray for 3 or 4 people in the flight, right? And so that, what I'm trying to tell you is supernatural, right? Life with God is supernatural. When you're walking around and you see, and we prayed for many people, me and my wife, homeless people. We went to, I've got some points here my wife mentioned on the meeting on Wednesday. Aeroplane, you know, we did 1 a.m. healing. We went to the lady's house, prayed for her. She had a vomiting bug. She couldn't stop vomiting. And normally it ends in, they go to the hospital. She couldn't stop. I remember at 1:30 in the morning, I was praying for her in the name of, and the little son turned over and goes, I said, it's all right, sweetie. Go back to sleep. It's fine. I'm just praying for your mummy. And we were praying with the woman, and she stopped. And she just started to go, and it started to diminish. Do you understand? That lady had a child to come to Christ. She had many miracles. She's still not. But it doesn't matter. Right? It's just that God wants her to know that he's real. Right? So I want to encourage everyone, anyone here. This is where it comes exciting. This is where you move from the, you know, trying to explain the scriptures to people. Look, Speaker's Corner, you know, we haven't been recently, but we've been there for like 10 years, right? All the Muslims would come. All the atheists would come. They'd all come think we're mad in Speaker's Corner. But when I say to them, listen, tell me about your life. They've got nothing to tell me. Your God is so awesome, right? Okay, hallelujah, praise God. Now tell me about your life with your God. Can't tell me nothing. Tell me. I can tell you miracles, signs, wonders, new jobs, revelation, being transported, people healed. Tell me that your God is so good. You want me to switch? Right? Tell me. So your life, your testimony of your life is more than enough. What has your God done for you? Tell me, please. Pray 5 times. Yeah, I know what you. But what has he done? They can't say. They can't. They cannot tell you because their God is up there. He cannot come down. So we have it on the tip of our tongue, but we're not understanding love. Not only you don't have to give. You don't have to know this, and all you have to say is my life with Jesus. And it's not telling them. Healed me, delivered me, he set me free, he gave me a job, he gave me a business, he done this, he works for me for the seasons, tell him about the storm. You can tell him all day what God has done for you. And they'd have nothing to say. Because it's real. Right? You see this story, Paul would have gone to the island, the snake would have latched onto him. Bang.
Yeah.
No big deal. Why? Because he's working for God. When you really work for God in your heart, I'm not talking about people that like the idea. I'm talking when you give your life to the Lord, right? Give a part of your life to the Lord. Right? Have your job, go to college, university, have your business, no problem. Work on yourself, no problem. New creation, new man, right? But work for God. 3 areas that every Christian should be involved in, right? And when you work for God, okay, what time is it? Oh, yeah, okay, I've got to go serve Jesus now. You understand? Oh, yeah, work, wife, family. Okay, you've got to go now, I've got to serve Jesus now. See you? It's got to be like business because God is a businessman. We have to be about the Father's business, right? Church, isn't that right?
Yeah.
So we've got to think our changing a bit to match the life of God because we're confessing Jesus. You know why? Because there's people on the other end who are suffering. There's people who are depressed. There's people who are suicidal. There's people who have got no hope. And you're the light. And your life with Jesus. God's done this for me. Really? What? Nah. I'm going to tell you. And then you pray for them. And you let them get on with it. What can you say to that? Jesus is about life. Do you see? Yeah. I've come to give life and life in abundance. So when you have an abundant life, you can, from the overflow, you can give people a hope and give them an abundant life. Believe and receive the gifts of the Spirit. So I've got this short passage here, and then I'm going to finish. Okay. The Lord gives us a range of supernatural gifts when we work with Him that we can use for His glory, as He wills. And I've listed the gifts here. These are the diversities of gifts. I'm going to read them out, but the same Holy Spirit. Right? This is why we said today, you must be born again. Once you're born again, you can enter into the gifts. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, right? But it's the same God who works through all and in all. And then he says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit, okay, is given to each one for the profit of all. Now listen to this. For one is given the word of wisdom. Okay, through the Spirit to another, word of knowledge. Okay, God can say, okay, I've got this job for you in this direction, and you get a dream or you get a vision, and then it turns out to be true. Okay. Or word of wisdom when you're stuck in a situation and you don't know the answer, God drifts something into your heart and you get an answer. Okay, think about this, right? Wisdom. Okay, word of knowledge through the same Spirit to another, faith. So your faith might be higher than someone else's, and you can raise them up. God can do this. He's done it for me, and you're good at helping people in that journey, right? A gift of faith. To another, gifts of healing. Look at that. To another, gifts of healing. All right? By the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles. Okay? To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Because not every spirit is the Holy Spirit. Right? To another, different kind of tongues, we were saying today, speaking in a different language. To another, the interpretation of tongues. You know, when I speak in tongues, God will give me the interpretation. I'll have visions, I'll have dreams, I'll get the understanding to what I'm saying. So it's not just blah, 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 blah. You understand? So you can have the gift of languages, and then you can have the interpretation of what you're saying. Because the worst thing is you don't know what you're saying. And for me, God speaks in images. Because the image is 1,000 words, right? Ch, 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 ch. So you guys can enter into all these things to have tools to practice your Christianity, right? Okay, kind of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. And it says this, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Right. So if you say to the Lord, I want to reach people and help people, and depending on your desire and depending on what you want to do, God will give you a gift for that. Right? It's going to be up to you. He distributes the gifts to who He wants. And now we get a full package, right, from Paul on the ship, wrecked. Okay, not nice. Ends up on the island, better. Getting bitten by a snake, not nice. Right? Gets to pray for someone, very nice. Gets to save people, very nice. Spends 3 months there, praise God, and then he goes on to the next location. And in that, we're seeing the gifts working, the gifts of healing. Amen? So I'm gonna end that bit, but I'm going to end in prayer, and then we're going to just go over to communion. Very important. Is that okay? Can I just pray for everyone here today according to what we have spoken about, according to your hunger? Maybe you don't know some of the things I'm speaking about, but you would like to enter into it. Right? So let me just pray. So Father, I thank you so much for the scripture of God. The word of God is true as it was yesterday, because you are the same yesterday and today and forevermore. We thank you for the beautiful words and the experience that you've taken the Apostle Paul through, that we may learn from it, Lord. We may learn that there may be a storm, Lord, we may learn that vessel we're in, you want to break up that vessel we're in. We're in the wrong vessel, wrong boat, wrong people, wrong friends. Okay, we're in the wrong place, and you want to smash that vessel because you want to redirect it somewhere else. And so, Lord, we pray that we understand how you're working. We pray, oh God, and our Lord, that the Apostle Paul was on that island, and he prayed for these people, and you healed them. And so I just pray for the church, Lord, for the gifts that I've mentioned, the nine gifts that I've given, who were distributed by the Holy Spirit, will come into these brothers and sisters because they have a hunger to serve you. They have a hunger for the supernatural. They have a hunger to change. They have a hunger for transformation. They want to know you better. They want to be productive. They want to help people. They want their life to be for you. They don't want it to be about religion, but they want it to be about the Holy Spirit flowing through everyone here today. So Holy Spirit, Lord, according to the desire of the brothers and the sisters, according to their heart, Lord, will you give them the gift according to your will and to your knowledge, maybe in part today, because we've spoken about it, we brought it to life, Lord. So we thank you for the impart, imparting the reason why they want to ask for the gifts and the reason why they're going to use the gifts, because they can use the gifts to heal and deliver, to set free, for prophecy, for wisdom. And all this is because the Spirit of God in us wants to give Jesus Christ the glory and the praise and the honor. So I pray, Lord, that we live in a living gospel, not a dead gospel, not religion. And we know, Lord, that a man can't teach you these things, but only the Holy Spirit can teach you all things. He is the giver of the gift, so he is going to be the one to teach you the gifts, even though I may give you a structure for it. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. I pray, Holy Father, glorious God, sacred King, Lord, that these brothers and sisters here today would have a new season of the supernatural, of the Holy Spirit, that their lives may be even more touched and transformed and changed. They may hold the power of God in them and within them. And I just pray for boldness and courage, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that every spiritual blessing, including the blessing of the Holy Spirit and his gifts, come upon them and be in them, and they may receive it by faith, Lord God, not because they are special, but by faith in Christ, that this may come to pass. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, you know, these are beautiful gifts, right, that God wants to give to you today. I pray you receive. I pray you practice in faith. Yeah, we used to go in the early days in our outreaches and just pray for people on the streets for healing. No argument, right? No debate. You got pain, can we just pray for you? It takes away all the debate, or it takes away everything, because it just shows that you care for them. Even at Speaker's Corner, you know, when people come to us, we say, look, we want you well. We want to pray for you. And that's it. And there's no argument. So we pray that you will enter into this new works, new season. And now as we go over to communion, I want you just to stay where you are. Keep your heart on the Lord, because it's only because that Jesus Christ died on that cross for us. He has removed our sins and our iniquity. He's made us clean, right, on the inside out, which is why the Holy Spirit can dwell upon you. Okay? That's the only reason that we can have gifts, because your sins have been removed, your iniquity has been removed, the past has been removed. Whatever you're speaking about in your mouth, or whatever your mind is talking to you about, whatever your mind is trying to talk you out of, just ignore it. Why? Because it's not about you, it's about the finished works of the cross of Jesus. And so as we come to a time of communion, and then the priest, if we can just distribute the bread. And if anyone doesn't want to take communion, just bow your head and the servers will just bypass you. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves. So, brothers and sisters, examine your heart. If you need to forgive anyone, okay, release anyone, whatever it may be, right? If you're struggling with that, ask the Lord to help you. Whatever you need to do, right, just give it to the Lord right now in a time of intimacy. Just ask Lord Jesus. You know, the communion was about intimacy with his disciples. And we are his disciples, okay? We are his disciples because we are trying to follow the Lord. So just speak to him. Lord, just help me today. But let a man, let us examine himself. Okay, so just take a moment, examine your heart. Remember, as far as the east is so far from the west, God has removed your sins, right? He's removed your iniquity, he's removed your sin. God holds nothing against you, so you should hold nothing against yourself. Release yourself, forgive yourself, whatever you need to do, because the cross of Jesus Christ has made that possible. You speak to the Lord, one word, two words. He knows you, he knows your name. You know, Paul on that ship was breaking bread, the symbol of communion, and we're able to do that this afternoon. God can hear your words, you speak to him as you would anyone else. Just confess your sins to the Lord if you have any, and he removes it in an instant. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And so it says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, Father, we thank you, we broke it. And he says to us, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So we thank you, Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you and we remember you with all our heart. We thank you, Jesus. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank you, Lord. Just stay in that place for a few moments more, church, in that place of peace, and then I'll end in a blessing for you all for the week and the days ahead. And those of you who are able, please join us at the rear hall for some refreshments. I'm just going to pray over you all right now. So just Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Holy One, Sacred One, Eternal One, I thank you, Lord, and your church here this morning, Father God, that you would protect everyone here as they go into their week, that you help them with difficult decisions, that you would make the way smooth for them, where you close old doors and open new doors to new life and new situations. I pray for the fathers, the mothers, for the children, the teenagers, that God's blessing and protection and guidance will be with you, that you will physically feel the tangible presence of the Lord, that God will use you mightily in these last days, that God will keep a hedge of protection over you and your family and your children all the days of your long life. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to end with the worship this afternoon. And church, let's worship the Lord. You know what? It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Worship means, God, I've given it to you. I'm going to let you fight the battle for me. So when we try to worship God, try and have that in your mind. Okay, it's not just shouting and singing. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm free because you're going to fight the battle for me. Amen. Can I give someone this mic? You want me to try? Nina here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.